there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. Playing chess has so many benefits for everyone at any age, but especially for young children and for older adults. It helps with cognition and memory, and playing against another person creates connection and community. My guest today, Henry, has been playing chess his whole life, and he launched his nonprofit, Chess Pals, when he was only 12 years old. Henry is now a student at Stanford University, and he speaks so eloquently about sharing his love of chess with children through this important work, which has now spread throughout the public school system in his home state of California and across the country through his ambassador program. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Henry. He is going to tell us all about his wonderful project called Chess Pals. Hey, Henry, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Natalie.
Thank you so much for doing this. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, what year you're in, and then tell us the whole story of Chess Pals from the very beginning.
Yeah, so I'm Henry Lean from Mill Valley, California. I'm studying at Stanford right now, studying economics and computer science as a freshman. And yeah, my nonprofit is called Chess Pals. And so Chess Pals helps under-resourced kids in lower-income communities learn chess free of charge or at very low cost. We partner with high schoolers and high schools in the areas near these under-resourced schools, train the high schoolers in their chess clubs and other passionate kids who play chess with our proprietary curriculum, and then partner them with these under-resourced schools nearby and then pair them up for programs using our materials. We pay for all the boards, we pay for all the costs, subscriptions, everything. Pair them up, make sure that everything's going well, oversee, handle logistics. That way we can provide really low cost or free chess education, which is normally very expensive, to under-resourced communities to help benefit cognitive skills and also for them to make friends.
Amazing. Okay, so start from the beginning. How long have you been playing chess? When did you start playing chess? When did you think of this idea? Like, what sort of sparked this for you?
Yeah, I say a different age for chess when I started in every interview, but I was very young, maybe 5 to 7, probably.
Right.
I've been playing most of my life, and I've really enjoyed the game. I think it has huge benefits to kids, whether that's cognitive abilities, as I said, making friends, friendly competition, accountability. There's a multitude of benefits to playing chess, I believe, especially at a young age. And I came up with this idea when I was around 12 or 13 for my bar mitzvah project, since we needed something that was giving back to the community, but I kind of wanted to do something that was more than just a one-off, do something, finish the project, have my bar mitzvah and finish it off. I wanted something that could continue and that could be scalable. And so right across the street from my synagogue is actually an under-resourced school in the area called Venetia Valley. That's a K-8 school. And then I realized, as a 12-year-old even, why can't I teach chess to kids my age and a bit younger, since they don't have access to a chess program? I was in a chess program at the time at my school and then out of my school, but those programs are really expensive and also don't normally service schools like that. And so as a 12-year-old, I went in there and taught fourth graders, third graders, second graders. It was very odd teaching kids about my age. But I went in there myself. My mom oversaw that, since I was too young to be in there alone. And I was teaching those classes, which really went super well. And they really enjoyed that. We brought them to some tournaments at that stage, even taught them with lessons, gave boards, so on. And that scaled really well. And I continued doing that up until about 2020. But when 2020 hit, we had this challenge with COVID. And so I took that program online. That was just me at the time. Took that online, made sure that I adapted everything. We had to change the curriculum up, made sure it was adaptable to Zoom, make sure that the kids were still engaged and that there was still purpose and there was direction in the lessons. Once that went well, we continued doing that. There was good retention there. We started to focus more on the curriculum, which we kind of refined in a sense. We tried to partner with chess.com, use their curriculum from chesskid.com, which is our kids' website. And then from there, after COVID subsided, we went back to in-person. But the district that we're working with, the main one at least, is Bay Area Community Resources. That's the after-school provider for this multitude of districts. We were in Centerfield District, but there's many other districts in the area of the North Bay, Marin, outside of San Francisco. And so BACR, which is the provider, really liked us. And so we went from Venetia Valley and we expanded into Coleman, which is another nearby school. Those two programs went really well. At this point, I was onboarding other kids and that was going very nicely. Those were from surrounding high schools and other kids I had in the network of chess, you could say. And so brought those kids on. That went really well. Then we started talking with the administration. They were big fans of us. And so we actually were brought into their big, big summer camp. That was dozens of kids. And we taught during that summer. Oof, that was a lot of kids. That was 10 classes a week. And so I had a lot of kids teaching with us there. That was a really good experience. That gave us a lot of outreach. And that was pretty much the entirety of their district that they were servicing in the K-5 area. And at the end of that summer, that was in June to July, that entire 10 classes a week, what we did was we brought them all to a big tournament that's run by a friend of mine who's also on my advisory board, Abel Talamantes, who runs the best program that you could imagine for chess at Hamilton School, which is what I'm hoping that we can adapt to all of our schools. So he's really the framework. We brought them to his tournament since he runs tournaments, and our kids did really well there. We brought a bunch of kids there. Of course, we can't bring all of them, but we brought a fair few kids and they did really well and they really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun, brought the kids, made sure everything was paid for, transportation, food, so on, registration. And that was a great experience. And then from there, since that went really well, BACR told us that we should move into the rest of the schools. And so from there, we expanded to the rest of the schools in that district. And I had to onboard, of course, many more kids, and that went really well. And so we had more teachers, more kids, more classes, made sure those logistics go smoothly. By that point, I had an advisory board set up because I realized that we need some sort of framework to not only oversee things, but also to understand where we're going. And so I assembled a team. We have the former superintendent of the school district. We have also Abel, of course, since we need that chess perspective from the schools. We have my personal chess coach, Ineski Quesada, who is top 20 in the U.S. and also is the Cuban chess champion. So we have that chess perspective. And then we also have Michelle Levine from Vivillon, since by that point we expanded into teaching in senior centers as well, since we realized that chess is also, one, super beneficial cognitively in a senior sense because it helps maintain that mental acuity and can help stave off those cognitive declines. But it can also be super good socially because a lot of those seniors that we were working with didn't have a lot of time to talk with others and scheduled in their week. And so what we realized is not only can they talk with other people, but that intergenerational, since we're having high schoolers teach seniors, and that was a really good connect that we found. And that was actually a super successful thing, which we're still doing. And so I have Michelle from Vivillon, then we have Mary Jane Burke, the superintendent, Ineski, the chess GM, and then we have Abel for the chess in schools. And so the four of that, it's a pretty good balance, I think. And from that, we tried to think about going nationally. And so we started scaling up. So we worked on other programs across the country and then also expanded throughout California. So the biggest programs that we have right now, we have one big, big program in Davis, California, and then one big program in Berkeley and Oakland. And those two are scaling really nicely right now, and we're working on others across the nation. And so we would also be open, of course, to scaling up any other programs. If any other kids in high school or parents that know of kids in high school that want to help start a chapter, reach out, since we're always ready to do that. And we deal with all the funding. All we need is for them to coordinate boots on the ground, which kids are going where, and also to rally to make sure all those logistics line up. But we can handle a lot on the back.
I have a quick question about the funding. You know, you've mentioned a lot about different things that you pay for, the tournaments, the food, the transportation, the chess boards and all that. So how do you do your fundraising? Is it, do you have donors or are you getting corporate sponsors?
So we're 501c3. So we have donors from individual donors. And then we also just recently won a grant from a foundation that was 5,000. So that should cover, actually, maybe it was 4,000, but it was one of those, which covers all of our yearly expenses. That'll be very nice. So that can cover all the boards, all our subscriptions, all the payments that we'll need. So that'll be really nice. And so that's usually how we do it. Ironically, it's not that expensive to run this type of charity. It's not necessarily in the boards are the most expensive thing, since the labor is almost always free, since this is a great volunteer opportunity for one. Two, it teaches a lot. I think I strongly stand by this, that teaching is one of the strongest things to do as a kid, since it develops so much. It develops speaking skills, it develops poise, it develops quick thinking, it develops connection and the ability to communicate on different levels of comprehension. So I think that that's a really strong thing to do. And so there's a lot of kids at my old high school that that work with the program. That's a big, it's a big supplier of labor that we have and is around the area. And so it's kind of perforated around the area in terms of who does what. And then I've also passed off that leadership of that Marin chapter onto a younger kid who goes to a nearby high school, Marin Academy. So Tenzing handles that now. Great guy. He's doing great as a freshman. So we'll see what happens there. But I think that it's really important in this sense to not only continue that chain, since all the other chapters are also passing off leadership and so on, but also to maintain that quality. Since we make sure that we have good quality in the programs, that kids show up, that teachers show up, and that we make sure that no one's left alone or that no kid falls behind in terms of comprehension. Since the biggest thing that we take away from it, aside from the chess, is just this connection. And that's a new avenue for kids to learn and to play, because if they don't want to do sports, if they don't want to do art, they have chess.
Absolutely. Oh, and you addressed this issue that I was going to ask about, sort of, you know, you went off to college, right? You started this wonderful thing in high school, and you can't really be involved on a day-to-day basis, but it sounds like, you know, finding the next leader to kind of come up behind you is the way that you're going to have that continuity and make sure you have that high quality. Can you tell me a little bit about the curriculum? You said it's a proprietary curriculum. So you created that yourself, or you sort of pieced it together with your code? How did that work?
Yeah, so that was pieced together by me. We took inspiration from, well, also my coach looked it over, but it was pieced together by me in middle school and then early high school age. And that was by looking at the chess.com curriculum and the Chess Kid curriculum. So we took that as inspiration, since they, of course, have a really strong curriculum structure, but there was things that we wanted to introduce ourselves. So we wanted to make it more interactive. We wanted to give more time for play, more time for communication. Since their curriculum, at least the one that's public on most of their websites, is that it's very lesson-based. It's very do this, then we'll do that, then we'll do that. And while we use that, and we use a lot of their puzzles, and we use a lot of their analysis and activities, we also want to incorporate time for the kids to talk with each other, time for the kids to play each other, time for the kids to learn. Since it's not all about, especially with a game like chess, if you just continually learn without applying anything that you're learning, it does really fall between the cracks. And you need to make sure that you play, even if you don't have the full grasp of the game, even if you're playing with just half the information. It's about locking that information in, being comfortable with what you're doing, since acting on that information, the same way that teaching is good for locking in that information, is really crucial.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, what I think is so important is that as a kid, right, as a middle schooler and a high schooler, you knew the best way to teach other people your age or younger than you, right? So these curriculum that you mentioned online may or may not have been developed by kids, right, by younger people. And I think that that's the power of this, is sort of teen to teen or kid to kid. And I really also loved what you said about the intergenerational piece. I live here in New York City, and there's a senior program here that also called Arote that also has a program where they connect fifth grade boys and girls with seniors to play chess on a weekly basis. And you're so right. There's just so much to be gained, both from them learning and teaching each other the game, but also that relationship that can form, right? We can learn so much from each other. Well, I don't know, Henry, this sounds really amazing. And it seems like kind of world domination here. It doesn't seem like you have any reason to stop. I mean, as you pointed out, if you can have this grow and have Chess Pals, you know, in every state across the country, I mean, wow, the public school system in your, where you grew up is probably pretty psyched that you started this, right? Like, this is a really special and important program, and they probably did not have the wherewithal to get it started on their own. And so you're really doing the school system a service as well. Well, can you tell everybody where they can learn more, maybe figure out a way to start their own chapter in their hometown?
Yeah, I mean, you can reach out at chesspals.org. That's just chess and then P-A-L-S with no space, .org. Henry@chesspals.org in terms of email, LinkedIn, chesspals.org, Instagram, chesspals.org, although that's more meme formats to engage kids.
Right, but right, of course.
All of those work in terms of reaching out. And if, I mean, any of those is great. The website also displays what we're currently doing. And then the email is the easiest one if you want to reach me. Any kid who's probably above seventh grade and is in high school, reach out. We can set something up, try to make a chapter happen near you. We pay for everything. We just need someone who's a go-getter and who can get things done on the ground, and we're happy to get something going with you.
That's amazing. Well, Henry, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's really a fantastic program. You've obviously thought the whole thing through. I'm wishing you the best of luck with it. I think it just sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.